Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
It's Thursday, and it's great to have you with us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm delighted that you're with us. We have been in a series that is absolutely transforming by Derek Prince on the subject of faith. We've been learning all kinds of things, like the difference between faith and hope, and how faith accesses the resources of God's Word. Now, Derek's going to teach us three critical truths, three faith facts, so to speak, about how faith must be confessed, faith must act, and faith must be tested. Those are our topics today and tomorrow as we learn from Derek Prince. If you've missed any of this, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org, but get your Bible, get your notepad, and let's take notes as we learn about this critical subject of faith.
Yesterday, I shared with you on the vitally important issue, how faith comes. I explained that the key word is hearing. Faith comes as we hear God speaking to us by His Holy Spirit through His Word. In my talk today, I'm going to deal with what I call the three great musts of faith, three things that must go together with faith. I sum up these three musts as follows. First, faith must be confessed. Second, faith must act. And third, faith must be tested. Today I'm going to focus on the first of these three musts. Faith must be confessed. First of all, we need to understand the way the word to confess is used in the Bible. The word to confess has two main significances. First of all, it means to say something out boldly and in public. But secondly, it means to say the same as. And in this connection, the thing that confession is related to is the Scripture, the Word of God. So it means that we say the same with our mouth as God has said in His Word. Or you can put it this way. We make the words of our mouth agree with the Word of God. The Word of God is already established. It's permanent. It doesn't change. Confession is bringing the words of our mouth into line with the Word of God. So confession has those two meanings, each of which is relevant. First of all, it means to say something out boldly and publicly. Secondly, it means to make the words of our mouth agree with the written Word of God, the Scripture. Now we look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul speaks about the relationship between believing, that is, having faith, and speaking, saying something with our mouth. He says this, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak." Paul is quoting one of the Psalms from the Old Testament. We don't need to look back at that. But the center of what he's saying is, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Believing must lead to speaking. There's a connection. What you believe in your heart must be expressed through your mouth. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus makes a general connection between the mouth and the heart. He establishes a general principle. He says, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." I express it this way, when the heart is full, it overflows through the mouth in speech. The mouth is the overflow valve of the heart. And what flows out of the mouth tells us what's in the heart. Really, you cannot have one thing in your heart and something else flowing out of your mouth. So in order to have the right thing in our heart, we have to say the right thing with our mouth. And conversely, when we say the right thing with our mouth, we're filling our heart with that thing. It works both ways, from the mouth to the heart, from the heart to the mouth. This principle is stated three times over by Paul, where he's speaking about the basic requirement for salvation in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. He says, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the great basic requirement for being saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Three times Paul joins together the mouth and the heart. He says in verse 8, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," and he puts mouth before heart. In verse 9 he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And again mouth comes before heart. But the third time he reverses the order in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we see that there's a linking up there by Scripture between the mouth and the heart. The heart is expressed through the mouth, but what we say with the mouth affects what is in our heart. Now we need to look at Paul's statement, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Notice, entering into salvation is a process, indicated there by the word unto. Salvation is the all-inclusive word in Scripture for all that has been obtained for us by the death of Jesus on the cross. It's the one all-inclusive word for all the benefits, spiritual, physical, material, temporal, eternal. They're all included in that one word, salvation. So that's a very important statement. Confession is made unto salvation, because it tells us how we can enter into all the benefits that Jesus has purchased for us by his death on the cross. And the process is confessing unto salvation. In other words, whatever area of salvation we need, whether it's the forgiveness of sins or the healing of our bodies or financial provision, we confess what the Word of God says about it. We confess it not so much because we feel it or because our circumstances make it look as if it's true, but because we believe the Bible is the Word of God and it's true anyhow. And so we discipline ourselves. We discipline our mouths. We make our mouths say what God's Word says about that specific need or that specific situation. And I want to tell you right away that if you think this is easy, just try it. And you'll find that bringing the words of your mouth into line with the Word of God is a process of self-discipline, and it builds character as almost nothing else will do.
I love this connection that Derek makes, because it's a connection the Bible makes between speaking words and what we believe. Many of us want to have a joy, joy, joy way down deep in our heart, a faith that we believe that's deep inside, but that we never articulate. The Bible says, speak what you believe, and it will become a reality. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
You can't build securely on a faulty foundation. It's true for buildings, and it's true for your life. In his booklet, Founded on the Rock, Derek Prince not only explains why a proper spiritual foundation is vital, but also how to put one in place in your life. As you read, you'll discover the vital role of pure motives and the impact they have on your quality of life. And you'll learn the surprising ways Christ manifests himself to us as we obey his word. To get your own copy of Derek's revealing booklet, Founded on the Rock, absolutely free, call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Build your life on a firm foundation. Request your free copy of Founded on the Rock when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us. We've been in a wonderful series by Derek Prince, and in the first portion of our program today, we learned about how faith must be confessed. Now we're going to learn about how faith must act. Man, this is a challenge to the church, particularly the Western world. Let's get to it.
I've been speaking about the three great musts of faith, three things that must go together with faith. First, faith must be confessed. Second, faith must act. Third, faith must be tested. I dealt with the first must. Faith must be confessed. I'm going to deal with the second must. Faith must act. I'm going to explain the connection between faith and works. Now, works is one of those words that's used with a rather special meaning in the New Testament, and we need to just pause for a moment and see what it means. When the word works, or in some translations, deeds, is related to faith, it means the appropriate actions that go together with the faith that we profess. So you could say that works or deeds means the actions which are appropriate to the faith that we confess. Keeping this in mind, let's look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He makes a very simple but very profound statement that all of us need always to bear in mind. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. I see four successive points there in what Paul is saying. First of all, no external ritual by itself can ever commend us to God. If it's merely something external, it doesn't matter what the ritual is. The example that Paul chooses is circumcision. But no external ritual, unless it's accompanied by faith in the heart, can commend us to God. Secondly, God's primary requirement in the Christian life is faith in the heart. That's the basis and the source of everything in the Christian life. Thirdly, and it's very simple, faith works. True faith inspired by God is active. It's not passive. It doesn't just make statements and leave it at that. It makes statements and follows them up with appropriate actions, with works. And fourthly, and again, this is vitally important, faith works by love. True faith is always expressed in a way that is loving and kind and gracious. So much religion is harsh and critical and unkind. Wherever you encounter religion of that kind, be sure that it does not spring from biblical faith, for faith works by love. Now, James deals more fully with the relationship between faith and works in his epistle, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And I'm going to work through these verses with you and see what it is that James is saying here about the connection between faith and works. I'm going to divide this passage of 13 verses up into six sections. The first section is verses 14 through 17, and I call it Confession Without Action. And James shows that it's worthless. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. I would say that James is pointing out there the uselessness of empty religious platitudes. There's a fellow believer who's in need. He needs clothing and food. And one believer says to him, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled." But he doesn't stretch out a hand to give him food or clothing. James says that kind of faith is dead. It's not the kind of faith that comes from God. A living faith is expressed by what it does. The second section is just one verse, verse 18. I call this theology versus life. James says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I want to tell you that I always accept that as a personal challenge. I don't want to have a faith that only has to be explained in doctrinal language. If the only way I can communicate my faith is by using doctrinal language and religious speech, it would probably be better if I didn't communicate it at all. There's the challenge. Someone says to you as a believer, well, you have faith without the works, but I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith by what I do. I'll show you my faith by the results it produces. Are you in a position to say that to the people that you live with? I'll show you what I believe by the way I live, by the results my faith produces. The third section, again, is just one verse, verse 19, and I call this the devil's orthodoxy. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. There's a person who's very orthodox in his view of God. He's quite convinced that there's only one true God, and he asserts this creed of his. James says it's a good creed, but it doesn't prove you're right with God. The devil's very orthodox in that respect. He knows there's only one God, and his demons know it. But they're afraid of God. They tremble every time they think of God. Why? Because although they believe, they don't obey. So the lesson there is that true faith in God will lead you to obey God, and faith without obedience is self-deception.
You know, Christians have battled for centuries about the value and the priority of faith versus works. But I'll tell you, the Bible says that when we have faith, we must act on it. We must do the works that faith demands. That's where the power is. I don't want to argue about it. I want to live in the power of it. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
You can't build securely on a faulty foundation. It's true for buildings, and it's true for your life. In his booklet, Founded on the Rock, Derek Prince not only explains why a proper spiritual foundation is vital, but also how to put one in place in your life. As you read, you'll discover the vital role of pure motives and the impact they have on your quality of life. And you'll learn the surprising ways Christ manifests himself to us as we obey his word. To get your own copy of Derek's revealing booklet, Founded on the Rock, absolutely free, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Build your life on a firm foundation. Request your free copy of Founded on the Rock when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us today. We are learning some fascinating things about faith. We've learned that faith has to be confessed. Now we're learning that faith has to be acted upon. And we're just about to learn from the examples of Abraham and Rahab, powerful heroes from the Old Testament. Let's listen.
We're analyzing what James says about the relationship between faith and works. We've come to the fourth section of the passage that we're looking at. That's verses 20 through 24. I entitle this, The Example of Abraham. James says, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. Now we'll look on to the fifth section of what James has to say. Again, it's just one verse. Verse 25, I entitle this, The Example of Rahab. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? I've always loved the story of Rahab. To me, it proves that with God, there's hope for the hopeless. Most religious people would have written Rahab off right away. She was a harlot. She was not from the children of Israel. She was living in a city that was doomed to destruction under God's wrath. And yet her faith got her out of that situation, God her to be a member of God's people, and ultimately she's quoted in the New Testament, or cited in the New Testament, as an ancestress of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. What was the nature of Rahab's faith? Well, she believed that Israel's God was the true God and that he would do what he said. So when the spies came into Jericho to spy out the city sent by Joshua, she sided with them. She received them. She risked her life by hiding them. And then she risked her life again by letting them down through her window. And where she had let them down through the window, she put a scarlet thread in the window to remind them that they were not to destroy her house when the city was destroyed. Well, that's a beautiful picture of faith, confession, and works. Rahab believed in her heart. Her confession was the scarlet thread in the window, which really corresponds to our confession of faith in the blood of Jesus. But that scarlet thread in the window would never have saved her if she hadn't used that window to let the spies out by, to risk her life. She had to lay her own life on the line to prove her faith. That's faith and works. Now let's listen quickly to the conclusion. What James says in verse 26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Faith that does not express itself in action is just a kind of religious mummy. It may be at home in a church building, but it has no life. True faith is always expressed in corresponding actions.
You know, this teaching about how faith has to be acted upon is really an antidote to so much of the mental assent that we have in America and in our Western world. Dave Holland, I appreciate you being here to help me process this.
Oh, happy to do it, Stephen. And I know you're still struggling a little bit in your voice. Thank you for hanging in there with us.
Absolutely.
You're a trooper. I know you don't feel bad. It just, you're a little ragged on the voice side of it.
Well, thankfully I'm ragged because I've been doing some things that are positive and good and fruitful, and I'm thankful. How's this teaching impacting you? I got to tell you, I've heard a lot about faith in my life. I went to university in Tulsa. You can imagine how much I heard about faith and faith teaching, but this is really just a laser-like teaching from Derek Prince.
It really is, and it's so valuable. I'm reminded of that passage in Colossians that says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. And of course, we receive Christ Jesus as Lord by faith, and the Christian life is lived by faith. And on more than one occasion, I've sort of wearily said to my wife, you know, honey, I realize no matter how far along we go in life, we're never going to get to stop living by faith. And I say that teasingly, because it is an adventure. It's not a burdensome thing to live by faith. It really is an exciting thing, but we never outgrow the need to live by faith.
Well, you know, and one of the things is that when we actually act on our faith, meaning we act according to the rules, the laws, the structures of an invisible world, it makes us a little weird in this world.
It does.
And I think a little bit of fear, I think a little bit of fear of rejection by our friends and family perhaps creeps in, makes us want to be normal and therefore earthy, which is not what we're called to be.
But what's normal is to build our houses of our lives on shifting sand. And Jesus said, he who hears these words of mine and acts upon them is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And that takes faith. To hear Jesus' words and then act on them is an act of faith. And you know, that is the very subject matter of a free resource we're making available right now, Stephen. Anyone who asks, we'd love to get them a booklet by Derek called Founded on the Rock. And it is about this very thing, about hearing the words of Jesus and having the faith to act upon them. It's an encouragement on that, about the importance of doing that, but also very practical about how to do it. Go online at derekprince.org and just let us know you'd like to receive it. And we will get to you the booklet by Derek Prince called Founded on the Rock.
Dave, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Friday as the legacy continues.
To request your own copy of Derek's booklet, Founded on the Rock, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The phone call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your free copy of Derek's booklet, Founded on the Rock, securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.